Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for restarting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. And God, for anybody that's just joining us right now, we talk about the brighter side of the 805. And I just want to remind you, if for any reason you missed any part of our show today, you can listen on kimpaganoshow.com or iTunes. All of our stuff's downloaded there. Also, if you have anything that you want to spread throughout the 805, give us a call at either 805-419-0008, or you can always email us at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Today, I will be playing some of my personal favorite interviews, and my first guest this afternoon is Zach Leverenz, the Chief Executive Officer of Everyone On. And also, we're going to be joined with Connie Wang, and she is a Style Director of Refinery 29. And then we will be showcasing the latest summer trends and providing tips on how to update your wardrobe. Lastly, we will be talking with Leslie Holman about the ongoing crisis at the border. And, you know, this is all the things that are happening on the brighter side, and that's what we do. We look at all that stuff. So I just I hope that you like our show, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. Of course, we always talk about the brighter side of life in the 805. And today we're going to talk about something that some people are a little still nervous, even though it's really just a necessity around the world, and that is the internet. And there's so many, our kids are going back to school right now, and there's a lot of things that if you want to get out in the world, you need to know how to use the internet. Today I have Zach Leverenz, and he is going to be talking about Everyone On and also Cox Communications and helping to close the digital divide. And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show every Saturday from 6 to 7 and then again from 2 to 3. Zach, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
Sure. So I'm the CEO at Everyone On. Everyone On is a fairly new national digital inclusion organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit that has been working to kind of create a new way of closing the divide, which we've all known has been an issue for the last 20 years or more, really. Never been more critical to do so. As you mentioned in your lead-in, the cost of being excluded or disconnected are increasing. We know what those costs are. It's hard. You can't get a job unless you know how to get online and to find the jobs themselves and then apply there. Jobs require basic digital literacy skills, whether you're in retail or if you're working in a management company somewhere. You got to know how to get online and use that tool. And then in our schools,
able to maneuver through the internet, correct?
That's right. Right. It's a the learning curve is pretty steep if you're a new user. We all take for granted having, whenever we came online, but if you remember back to the first time you clicked through to understand how to get from A to B, it's not a smooth process. So the faster we get more people to understand the necessity of that tool and then the access with affordable internet and device offers, the better we're off we're going to be and those families are going to be. We work really closely with schools, because that's where we want, we start the front end. That's where we think we can get the best value over time, making sure that our low-income students have equal access to the technology that their more affluent peers do, in the way that it improves student learning. We know that.
Right. Steph, let me, first of all, I want to compliment you on that name, Everyone On. Love that, okay? I mean, that really just leaves nobody out. And now, so is this something that, my kids went to a technology school and I fought really hard and worked really hard for all of us, even people that, you know, families that couldn't afford to be on the internet. But at the same time, there's a lot of risks for kids being on the internet because it opens up a whole world 24/7. And so, you know, there are pros and cons to it. Of course, it is that is the next world. I mean, is what you're doing.
Yeah.
How did you come about doing this?
Yeah. Well, 2 minutes on quickly on my personal story. Why I do it is I actually come from the digital divide. I come from a place that is 100% and still continues to be 100% disconnected in both an infrastructure issue way, but also in the way that the economics of the small Appalachian town I grew up in is prohibitive for folks to afford the internet. So I've seen how that leads to a dearth of access to opportunities. And to me, you know, the few lucky opportunities I had that kind of changed my trajectory, really, you know, I tried to sit down and count for how that happened. And I want to take luck out of the equation. I want to give everyone democratized education and access to opportunity. And that's what this is trying to do. Now, specifically on the question of safety and security, totally agree. We're very careful about how we communicate to new users with training and onboarding and content, the risks and the controls for your students and families to safely use the internet. And we think that, you know, it takes sometimes help from everyone knows someone who's disconnected. Everyone has fears. Let's try to work together to kind of create the best practice and get people to really understand how to control those fears when they're online and to protect themselves. It's not impossible. That said, there's also the idea of being everyone off sometimes. When you're on, it's great to have that access, but then being able to disconnect is just as important. But let's make sure we have everyone with access first, and then they
exactly.
have the luxury of...
So let me ask you a question. Is this, you know, I know you talk about that pre-qualified users can have $10 a month unlimited home internet. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. You are the founding of the CEO of it, and that, again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us, it's everyone on. So is this for seniors too? Because that is the other end of the disconnect, correct?
So we have Everyone On is the national organization. We're agnostic to technologies and to companies as a nonprofit. So we work with everybody, and we've worked with about 12 internet providers across the country to deliver low-cost, $10 unlimited internet to all unconnected Americans. You know, we're still not there yet in terms of getting to the big numbers of 60 million people who don't have it at home, but we have about 36 million people who are in coverage and pre-qualified. Now, there's different segments. You mentioned seniors. That's a big unconnected piece of the population, a lot of value there for them to get online, social connectedness, reduced depression. These are proven ways that internet helps seniors. In the K-12 segment, we work with partners like Cox, who we just made an announcement yesterday are going to extend their Connect to Compete program, which is for K-12 free lunch students for another 2 years. That's important in the way that it allows families who get it already, they know why they need to be online but can't afford it, to quickly onboard their students and take advantage of. And by the way, it's not just the students when a family onboards, it's the entire family, so the mother, the father,
right.
Sisters, brothers. And it creates a lot of value in that household on jobs and on the future of their economic independence. And so in the end of the day, we go across the spectrum from K-12 to seniors and everyone in between, based primarily on lack of connectedness and income levels. But we know that's disproportionately minorities, and that's unacceptable for us.
Zach, you know what I love about this? I have to tell you, I've got 4 children, and, you know, I monitor them when we first, like I said, we went on to the internet when they were young. And now, because they've been on it for so long, they're so much quicker and faster than I would ever be, or, you know, and you know, it's almost like they were just born into it. But anything that you ever want is within fingertips. You know, you go, I don't understand that. You Google it, boom, done, right? And that is the thing. I know I bought both of my parents laptops and, you know, iPads. The same thing. They're, you know, they're reading. They're you know, they're not handicapped at home anymore. And so I love this. Is that what you call the digital divide?
Yeah, and to me, that's exactly what the divide is. It's the lack of access to opportunity. And by the way, we believe very strongly, it's kind of an ideology. We do a lot of great work in L.A., by the way. We have our own presence there and work with a ton of organizations, CETF, among them, and LAUSD. But we believe very fundamentally that because you're low income, it doesn't mean that you couldn't, you don't know what to do with tools like the internet. You'll find the opportunities, and we see it proven out time and time again, to improve your life and the life of your family if you're given those tools and those opportunities. So we want to just empower
folks. I love this program. I really do, because to me, it opens up a whole nother world, you know. It opens up
Absolutely.
Our world, you know. So how do we get involved in this?
Right. So there's a few quick ways you can get involved. If you are a free lunch family, you can call 855-222-3252. That's for the Cox Connect Compete program offer. And you'll be on your way for signing up for that $10 internet today. If you're not a free lunch family, you can go to everyoneon.org or enter your zip code there. Actually, there's a locator tool at everyoneon.org, and it'll tell you all the offers that are available to you in your zip code and whether you're qualified or not based on that zip code's median income. So in Los Angeles, by the way, it's majority qualified. We know that because we do some work there. And that includes tablets, laptops, and desktops in addition to the internet.
Really? I would love to. You know, I like I said, I think that if somebody can't get out of the house, if they can't, there's a whole world out there. I love what you're doing, Zach. I would love to learn more so I could become involved. And again, where do people find out more about you?
Sure. So everyoneon.org is the website. Everyoneon.org is just one word. If you want to find out if you qualify for the Cox Connect Compete offer, 855-222-3252. That information is also available on our website, but it's sometimes faster to call. So the chicken and egg on the internet connectivity.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. All right. Well, Zach Leverin, and again, God, everyone on, that is just opened up a huge world. And Connect to Complete, correct? Tell us, we didn't really talk about that. Is that the same thing?
No, so it's Connect to Compete, and that is a flagship K-12 program led by cable companies. So it's just mm-hmm. for free lunch families with partnership through Cox. Cox Communications has been doing this from the very beginning and really trying to push forward. They've extended their eligibility to include temporary assistance for needy families, or TANF, and the SNAP program, which is like the food stamp program. So if you qualify for free lunch or TANF or SNAP, you'll be able to apply for the Connect to Compete program, which is one of the programs within Everyone On.
Wow, love it. Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, making our lives a little bit brighter and the brighter side of the 805. Thank you so
Appreciate
much,
it.
Zach.
Thanks for
All right,
time.
Have
thank
a really
you.
Great day. All thank right, you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Thank you.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the students for eco-education in agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing providing seasonal sides while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up the storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KPTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. We talk about the brighter side. And, of course, summer trends are coming up, and you know I'm a hair therapist, and I like to look good, feel good, do good. And I've got Connie Wang. She is a style director, and she's going to talk about how to, you know, uplift our fashion and update our wardrobe. With
exactly.
That, I'm really excited to... Oh, hello?
Hi.
Hi. Connie, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yep. I'm the style director at Refinery 29. We are the largest independent fashion and style website on the internet. And, you know, where we're all about how to maximize your own closet, especially for the summer months when you actually just probably don't want to wear anything at all because it's so hot outside. But actually, the funny thing is the new trends for summer are all about looking back into your closet rather than looking forward to see what's next and new, because there's this big trend about shopping your own closet and, you know, reviving some of the basics that you might have overlooked in times past and giving it the high fashion makeover.
Now, I know in many instances you talk about actually kind of DIY, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing things to your own clothes. And so tell us some of those kind of things.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the easiest DIYs you can do is to create a pair of cutoff shorts. I mean, it's just a pair of jeans that you might not wear so much anymore if you've worn to death, so there's holes everywhere. And just take a pair of scissors to them, cut them to the length where you feel comfortable with. You know, go a little bit too long, I think, is a good first step, because you can always go shorter, but you can't always go longer. Throw them in the wash.
Kind of like here.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have a pair of, like, great summer cutoffs. But one of my favorite trends is the sports sandals. So you might recognize them as Tevas, or, you know, in the high fashion world, there's the Pradas, Nicholas Kirkwoods, MSGM, but those are so expensive. They're upwards of $800. And if you want to get that similar look, just buy yourself a pair of Tevas. They're very, very affordable. Then hit the craft store. You can stud them. You can apply rickrack to them, paint them, put rhinestones on them, personalize them in a way where it really feels like your own. And the thing is, it looks high fashion in a funny way. It doesn't really look like a crafty sort of DIY. Mm,
okay. And how long have you been doing this?
I have been doing this for 5 years now. So the company's been around for 10 years. We've been doing we've been reporting on fashion and shopping for 10 years, but I've been on board for five.
How did you get into it?
I have always loved fashion and shopping. I think that it was something I would do to procrastinate before, and I realized that I could maybe turn this into a career, and, you know, if that could happen, that's kind of the dream job, right?
yeah. You know, I mean, and that's really what we talk about here on my show, the Kim Pagano Show, is that sometimes our own gift, I mean, people just don't realize it, but their gifts can, you know, just lead them to their career, because when you're doing what you love, right, and that's mm-hmm. obviously what you're doing, is, you know, you're not really working.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think a good hint of, you know, what you should be doing is, like, what you're spending your free time doing, and see if you can turn that into a career. And for me, I was always on fashion blogs. I was always on e-commerce sites. And now, actually, when I have time to procrastinate, I really don't know what to do with myself.
Okay. So can you give us some, I know you gave us a couple tips here. But what are some tips that we could do for summer?
Well, I think that there's a big resurgence of comfort and practicality in fashion right now, which is a great thing for any woman who, you know, likes to move around and actually be active. So, you know, I mentioned Tevas before as like a sports sandal that, you know, that's a big trend. But, you know, sneakers are also a big trend. And to do it well, though, you have to pair it with something that's a little bit more feminine and flirty on top. So instead of, you know, wearing it with like basketball shorts and a big t-shirt or something, you know, wear it with a fun sundress. It's a great look for the 4th of July weekend, actually. If you have a pretty little, you know, number on, and you don't want to feel like a complete girly girl, you know, throw on a pair of sports sandals, and that will really like be a very unexpected juxtaposition that, you know, makes a really memorable outfit. Another trend that I particularly really love is the Bermuda short, which sounds like a really terrifying thing to bring up again, just because we've seen it done so badly by so many people. Dads included, I think, but to wear Bermuda short the more modern way, you know, wear it with a heel. It's a really elongating, professional sort of look, especially when you wear it with a top that's a little bit more fitted and cropped. So a high waist, hits to the knee sort of Bermuda short that's baggier. I think that's really important. Is a big trend that we're seeing that's really practical too.
Okay. And what are some of the do's and don'ts? I think that's the biggest, you know, thing. And, well, I'm going to lead into the next question because you say to shop in your own closet, but what if things haven't worked before? Can you make them?
I think that, I mean, it's all about taking a look at what you already own, figuring out what you've been wearing them with, and acknowledging the fact that what you've been wearing with, there's a reason that you're not wearing it anymore.
Yeah.
So just try to think in opposite. So the first thing is always do be comfortable. Don't ever wear something that you can't really move in, that you always feel like you're fidgeting in or tugging at, or, you know, can't sit down properly. And so if you go back into your own closet, and that's the first thing you should look for, comfortable pieces that you feel good in. That's the first step.
And, you know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are the brighter side of the 805. And we're talking with Connie Wang right now. You know, Connie, there's so many amazing, comfortable clothes now that are almost like kind of a pajama feeling, you know. But that is my favorite thing. And I never realized that. It just gives me... It almost makes me feel good and look good at the same time, and that's kind of where I'm going.
Exactly. It's. I feel like we've almost pulled a fast one in the fashion industry, like being able to wear pajamas basically outside and still look professional and put together and, you know, trendy at the same time. One of my favorite trends right now is the sports jersey, which is actually something I used to wear at home all the time, you know, and not dare leave my apartment. But nowadays, you can totally wear it outside of the stadium as well as outside of your home.
And what is it?
A sports jersey. So, you know, the thing that you would wear to go cheer on your favorite team in a stadium, you know, I actually just got one that was from a Salvation Army, and it's a little boy's, I think it's a t-ball jersey or something like that. So on me, it fits a little bit more fitted, and it looks more like a blouse rather than a, you know, a huge voluminous sort of jersey. But even if you have one of those, like a football jersey, for instance, that hits you at the shoulders and is a little bit of a boxier cut, that's actually a really trendy silhouette right now. Tuck it into a pair of high-waisted skirts or a pair of trousers or something like that, and it can be a really, really cute look.
So, Connie, I saw your website, and you're this cute little nothing thing, okay? But what about people that have a couple extra pounds on them? How, you know, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. What's your best, you know, tip for somebody like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think tailoring is key. Just know that, you know, even if it's a casual piece that you normally wouldn't take to the tailors, know that if it fits you well, you're going to wear it more often. And I think that just because something is casual doesn't mean that you should not give it the same care that you would your professional items or your work wardrobe or something like that. But also, if you're scared that these things might make you look a little bit bulky or a little bit squat, a really great tip is to wear these more masculine pieces with a nude high heel. It's like a secret weapon. It really adds interest to your leg. It really elongates the line. So, for instance, if you have a Bermuda short on or you have a sports jersey on, a nude heel really like lengthens your legs. You can look so much taller with those.
So let me ask you a question. Okay, so you take a petite person, and are they allowed to wear a skirt past their knees? Is that a yes, a do, or a don't?
Yes, it's definitely a do. We actually at Refinery 29 have this thing called a petite task force. It's a bunch of ladies in our editorial department that are under 5'2", and one of their favorite trends is actually the below the knee skirt, whether it's a pencil skirt or a more full A-line skirt that you might see in the 50s, to a maxi skirt. There's really no boundaries for what length you should go for. If you're a petite woman, I think the key, though, is to make sure that you're accentuating your waist at a higher point. So if you're belting it, or you know you're breaking it up somehow with a vest or another shirt on top, just making sure that your waist is defined at a very high point.
Okay. And I think it's really important to kind of know your body. You know, does an A-line look good on you? Does, you know, what are all the different styles?
Sorry, can you repeat the question one more time? I'm so sorry.
Well, I think it's important to know what style fits your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a couple differences. It's a very straight-fitted dress, and for me, that doesn't look good on me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that if you know what your body type is, to look for a celebrity that has a very similar body type to you is a really great tip. Go online, find out what they're wearing in their day-to-day, because oftentimes they have stylists, and so, you know, just steal their stylist tips for your own body.
Oh, great tip right there. All right. And, okay, and what is a must-have?
I think we are actually, I have to cut this a little bit short, but a must-have just... You already have it. It's in your own closet. Just do a little bit of rooting around, and you should be able to find what's next and new because you already got it.
You got it. All right. Well, again, Connie Wang, where do we find out more about you?
Go to refinery29.com.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much, Connie. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the Students for Eco-Education in Agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing seasonal sides while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up a storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KPTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side.
of the 805 right now. That's where we're speaking from. And, you know, I try to stay a little not very political, and you know, but this is an issue that I have Leslie A. Holman. She is the president of American Immigration Lawyers Association, and everyone out there knows we've got a little bit of a problem going on. Not only that is, I mean, the numbers just astound me. 57,000 unaccompanied women and children who have fled from Central America, and we've got a problem at our borders. And so I have invited Leslie Holman on to talk to us a little bit about that. And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of the 805. Leslie, are you there?
You bet. I'm here. Nice to meet you.
Nice to talk to you, too, and thank you for joining us here. So how big of a crisis is this?
Huge. If you could see my hands right now, you would see they're spread bigger than me.
Okay. And let me back up a second. If you could tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and why you're so passionate about this.
Sure. I am the president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. We are 13,500 strong and growing. We are dedicated to ensuring that, you know, our country remains the country that we were founded as, which means we are looking to protect those that are coming here. We are looking to ensure that we can continue to build, help our country economically by ensuring that we have got businesses that are able to develop here. We are looking to help the administration solve the immigration problem that we have, and to direct them, and to ensure that the laws are applied fairly.
Okay. So I understand that we have all these women and children coming in, but can you share what's happening at these detention centers?
I can. You know, and sorry that I have to share it, but I can. You know, you've got a picture, if you can, in your mind and your listeners, a remote facility in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico that is not created by any means to house women and children. You have children sleeping on cots without toys, without privacy, without playgrounds. 8 hours a day, thankfully you've had, government officials who've been thrown into this, quickly, with given nothing but the orders to, turn this around quickly and send them back, who by their own generosity and, human kindness will bring them coloring books. And, they're coloring for 8 hours a day, which is awfully hard. You know, for those of you that have children know that getting them to do one thing for 10 minutes is difficult. They're trying. We have attorneys. The American Immigration Lawyers Association, I always say I think immigration lawyers have the souls of social workers. They are down there working 24/7 on their own dime to try and help these people, yet they don't have private facilities. They can't talk to their clients, without having people listening.
So
they don't
let me interrupt you for 1 second. So, Leslie, this is all done pro bono, correct?
Right now, you bet.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, okay? Yeah, and thank you for, everything that you are all doing. Why are we having so many children and women coming into our country when we are having our own problems here? We can't take care of some of our own women and children, with our food and our own medical supplies, that kind of thing. What's your thought on that?
That's a great question, because I think understanding the why helps with what do you do. Because the why, they're coming here because they're in danger. They are not, when you hear people who are, anti-immigration, and then they're saying people are just coming here, to take advantage of what we have to offer, and that they'll be taking things from people in need. That's not true. These are people who are literally fleeing the violence of drug cartels, who are fleeing the violence of criminals. You've got mothers and fathers, family members sending them on a very long, dangerous trek that they don't even know if they're going to make it, but the idea that there's a possibility that they're going to make it is better than what they're living with right now, and that's why.
Really?
That's why it's happening.
Wow. I do... I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We are talking about the brighter side of life, and we are in the 805 right now. We're talking with Leslie Holman, and she is the president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. You know, my question is how are we going to be able to fund all these people when, I mean, we, you know, Leslie, you know, living here, we have our own, you know, resources that are a problem for our seniors, for, you know, just veterans coming home. I mean, there's so many problems here, and yet, you know, taking on all these other people, what's your thought of that? How can we really take on other people's problems when we really can't take care of our own?
Well, you know, there's definitely an answer to that. And the first, you know, important answer is that so many of the people that are here, that are being held, have family members and friends that are willing and asking to take them in. So that, in fact, we would be financially better off if they were released from these detention centers. And then they'd be released to people who would feed them, clothe them, take care of them. And not only that, but once we know that once they're released, typically, they're going to go through the system because they've got support here. And that support's in place, and it's not asking the government to do that.
Okay. So are you asking the government to take care of all their needs when they become here and out of the facilities?
No. What we're asking for is that they be released to the people that can take care of them. And that they're already here. Those people are here. They're already earning wages. They're paying taxes. So that you know, they've got, if they didn't have the means to do this, they wouldn't be opening their arms. And so, you know, that the fear that this is going to be a huge financial drain just isn't real. And in fact, you know, by you know, keeping people in detention and by opening these detention centers, that's costing money. Money that could be used to help these children and others within our own country.
Right. Now, what countries are they coming from, just so we can be clear on that?
Sure. The primarily is Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And it's important for people to realize, you know, that Honduras is the murder capital of the world.
Wow. Yeah. Again, you know, we're talking about 57,000. That's huge. And so how many detention centers do we have that are boarding all those?
Not near enough so that, number one, you've got overcrowding. And detention centers are not places that were built for children or to take in the needs for children. So we're putting them in, you know, in jail-like settings. And which is just an absolutely, it's mind-boggling, quite frankly, to picture.
So, Leslie, do you go visit all these women and children?
Our lawyers, you know, have been going down there literally in shifts, day and night, on their own dimes, you know. And again, the one that was opened for this particular, you know, crisis is literally, I mean, they in the middle of nowhere. It's in the desert. So they're trying to find places to sleep, you know, places to eat. You know, I was told that thank God for Walmart because at least they can get, you know, groceries and some, you know, necessaries.
Donated or are they being given? I mean, you know, bought?
No, the attorneys are paying out of their own pockets for this. And,
so the,
you know, I'm going to give you.
Attorneys are paying for it.
Yep, and I'm going to give you a sad fact because you can take from the 57,000, you can take about six right off of there because we, I learned recently that, you know, we know of six children that were returned on what's called a rocket docket because, again, the only directive that we've heard is to get them out and back quickly, and they were returned quickly, and they're now dead.
And they were what?
They're dead. They were murdered.
Sending them back to their countries, and they were murdered.
Yep, Honduras.
I'm sorry to hear that. So, okay, so how is the administration planning to fix this ongoing immigration problem?
I would do
anything.
To
the best of your knowledge.
I would do anything to be able to answer that question, Kim. We don't know.
What's your thought? What do you think is the best way? I mean, what, you know, you're saying that that all these women and children have families that are and have resources that they're going to be able to help them.
but getting them out of the detention centers is the problem, correct?
Well, that's part of the problem. We know we already have procedures in place that would be fair and humanitarian. We have things, you know, there's something called the TVPRA that was really has shown an expansion to help children from Central America. And, you know, before we heard that they were actually looking to take away those protections that were put in place. The typically in this situation, people would be bonded out. They're not getting the bonds, or the bonds are so high that's not happening. What we would like to see is the government ensure the due process protections that are there are enforced and followed, and certainly, you know, not stripped.
Right, right. Leslie, let me ask you, I'm sure this is what my listeners are thinking the same as me, is if we help these 57,000 women and children, is that going to be helping our senior citizens, our veterans, our children, our, you know, is that going to take away from that? Are we going to be able to have enough funds to do it all?
Sure, because number one, you know, these are people who, when they go through the system, and if they're given the opportunity to make an asylum claim, we know that the people who come here as refugees and asylees are contributing members of our society. They're paying taxes. They're looking to educate themselves. And when you've got an educated person and child put through the system, or a woman given an opportunity, they become a functioning member of society. And when you have that, then you've got more money in our coffers. They're able to buy things. They're paying their taxes. You've got more money in Social Security. That's going to help the seniors. It's going to build those coffers back up.
So let me ask you a question, though. Going back to the mothers that are in there, the women, you know, because they all are mothers of children that are in there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do they have means of any kind of career? Because you're saying that, yes, they would be put to work and that they would pay taxes, but in the meantime, are they going to give them, you know, medication, food, you know, shelter, welfare, you know, all that? How is that? That's where I think that, you know, we have the problem with it. Not that we don't want to care about all these poor women and children that are, you know, fleeing from their countries because they're unsafe there, but how are we supposed to help our children and, you know, everyone here when we're helping the rest of the country?
Ah, well, one of the problems with our broken immigration system is we know that we don't have in the United States the people to do the jobs that others don't want to do, okay? So we don't have essential workers. People who come here typically as asylees and refugees, they pick up those jobs and provide those needed skills, whether it be milking cows, plucking chickens, you know, working in any kind of facility. And in fact, they're helping because they're filling a much needed area of employment in our country. Those jobs are there. Those jobs are there,
wow.
And they need
Leslie,
people.
You know what? I know we're at the end of our time right now. I would love to talk to you more. Again, where do my listeners find out more about you?
Absolutely.
And more about this information?
Sure. Oh, sure. www.aila.org. And we have a very comprehensive website. And our website can educate, and it will provide information for everyone who needs it.
Okay, well, thank you for your passion, and I can tell that this is definitely a journey for you, and I would love to find out more why that is such a journey. But thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of the 805, the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you, Kim, for taking an interest. I very much appreciate it.
You got it. All right, and I hope that we find something that's going to work for all of us. So thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the Students for Eco-Education in Agriculture at the 2nd Annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing seasonal sides, while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up the storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KPTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. We talk about the brighter side, and we are in the 805 right now. And joining us is Daniel Schmusky. And it's kind of like a, you know, it's funny because you don't think, I mean, everybody's probably got one stuff somewhere in their cabinet, but it's actually one of my favorite things. When I go to a hotel, they still always have those. But waffle iron. And Dan's new book is Will It Waffle? And so we're going to talk about 53 irresistible and unexpected recipes that we can actually use. That waffle iron, put it to use. So let's bring Daniel on. And again, for anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Daniel, are you there?
I am, Kim. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So, okay, what's the unexpected recipes? I mean, I always like to go for, like, let's go for the gusto right here. What's unexpected?
Right, fair enough. So, you know, the book is really all about taking the waffle iron and making it for a lot more than just waffles, and even beyond that, a lot more than just breakfast. So when you're talking unexpected recipes for the waffle iron, let's talk about something like waffled falafel.
Ooh, okay, I like the name. What is that?
So, you know, typically falafel are sort of these chickpea fritters that are deep fried. And I don't necessarily have a problem eating deep fried food, but I don't always want to do it at home because it heats up the kitchen and it takes a while. So this is a way to make falafel in just a few minutes in your waffle iron.
Wow, I like it. You know, let's back up just a little bit. Daniel Schmusky is who we're talking with right now. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your background? Tell us a little bit about you and who you are.
Yeah, so I went to school for journalism, and then I worked for a few newspapers, and I did a lot of food writing. And then I fell into a job at a farmer's market and got to know a lot of chefs. And then I sort of had this idea for a blog about alternative uses for your waffle iron. And I was able to combine, you know, my connections with chefs and my love of food and writing and just kind of turn it into a book.
Wow, that's a very cool idea. I love farmers markets. They're all coming back, and you know, it's like, you know, one or two hands touched it, you know, it's kind of clean eating. I'm looking at some of your recipes here, and just with crispy sesame waffle kale. Now, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to include some things that were way out there in a way, right? So you would not expect kale to be cooked in a waffle iron, but I like kale. You know, it's really good for you. It's super popular at the moment, and one of the great ways to eat
kale.
It. I know, right? And one of the great ways to eat it is as these kale chips. And so I was thinking of my waffle iron and thinking of kale, and I was, will it waffle? I'm going to see if I can make it work in the waffle iron. And lo and behold, you put kale in the waffle iron, and it crisps up, and it turns into these great kale chips with these great waffle indentations in them.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, and you're going, will it waffle? That is the name of his book. And what a cool kind of a journey that you've been on, you know, where cooking is kind of been your passion as also as a journalist. And then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of have this little twist and this little idea of bringing something back. And so is this book, I don't have it in front of me, but is it all recipes?
Yeah, it's all recipes. There's a little bit at the front about sort of, you know, the history of the waffle iron, and there's a little bit about working with your waffle iron and what kind of waffle iron, you know, should you get and this sort of thing. But the bulk of the book is the 53 things that you can make in the waffle iron that are not waffles.
So give us just a second. How did the waffle come about? I mean, is that, you know, what did you find out about that?
Yeah, what's funny is you can trace the history of the waffle really far back in history. So let's say if you go back to medieval times, one of the precursors of the modern waffle were actually communion wafers. And then isn't that crazy? And if you fast forward to the early times, the early history of our country, you learn that in 1789, Thomas Jefferson went to France and came back from France with a waffle iron.
Oh, that's very cool. I love that. You know, it's funny, you really wouldn't, you know, I mean, so is this your first book?
It is. It is my first book. I've written other articles before, but this is my first book. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So question, okay, so going back to, I mean, I see you have waffled salmon with miso, oh my God, maple glaze and asparagus. Okay, I'm like all right there. Those are my favorites. Is it in a batter? Is all of these things, even like, you know, the kale, are they all in batters?
That's a great question, because I think people hear waffle and they think batter, right? But the one rule of this book... Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a natural association. But the one rule that I set for this book was no waffle batter, right? And
really?
So when you're making the salmon, you're essentially using your waffle iron as a grill, and you get the two-sided heat from the waffle iron, and you get those divots. And when you talk about something like that miso maple glaze, it settles into those divots, and you get that salty, sweet tang of the glaze against the fish, and it works beautifully.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so here's a question. Okay, so is there some guidelines for developing your own waffle recipes? You know, everybody always goes, oh, I think I could do this, and they want to, you know, so what's the guidelines on that?
Right. I mean, I had to experiment a lot to create the recipes in this book, and so I definitely encourage people to take it in their own direction and to answer the question, will it waffle themselves? There are some things to consider. You know, you have to think about, for example, you know, you cannot stuff your Thanksgiving turkey into a waffle iron, right? I mean, there are certain size limitations. You have to kind of cut things down to size. You can't make things that are too wet. I mean, things like soup are not going to work in the waffle iron, right?
But you can't pour.
Yeah, exactly. The list of things that will work, though, is way longer than the list of things that will not.
Wow, I kind of love that concept. Now, I know you do a sweet and sour waffled shrimp wontons. Talk to us about that. Is that an easy recipe?
Those are pretty easy because, you know, one of the things that has going for it is you can buy the wonton wrappers in the package at the supermarket, and so then it's just a matter of taking them and then building that stuffing with the shrimp and a little bit of sweet and sour sauce, and then cooking them in a few minutes in the waffle iron.
Wow, I like this. You know what I love about it is you can take your waffle iron pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, you were saying, it doesn't make your house all warm, you know, when you're cooking. So it's kind of just, you know, it's almost like a different way for grilling, correct, is kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it has absolutely. It has a lot in common with that. And when you say taking your waffle iron anywhere, one of my favorite things in this book are the waffled chocolate chip cookies. And
what this basically
means is you can make fresh cookies anywhere with an electric outlet without heating up the whole house, and you can make them in a few minutes.
So how many can you make? Do you have to make like a big waffle? Is that, or are you, talk to us about that.
Yeah, you keep them cookie-sized, and, you know, it depends on how big your waffle iron is, but you can make anywhere from, let's say, you know, if you only want one cookie, then it's a really easy way to make a single cookie. And if you want maybe half a dozen at a time, a lot of waffle irons will accommodate that sort of thing. So it's flexible.
Oh, now, you know, I have that one that you turn upside down, you know what I mean? And have you ever seen those?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What kind do you have?
Well, I don't know if I should admit this, but I have six kinds of waffle irons.
Oh, okay. So you're like, okay, got it. Okay. Because, I mean, they're great for heart cookies. They're great
for
Valentine's. They've got Mickey Mouse ones. Like, you
exactly.
know, I mean, really, yeah. So, okay. So lots of different kinds. You know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us, what a cool way to bring waffles back. But Willis Waffle is Daniel Schmusky. His book, and great recipes in there, 53 irresistible and unexpected recipes to make in a waffle iron. Where do we find your book?
You can find it in bookstores. It's out as of today in bookstores all over the country, and you can also go to find out more to willitwaffle.com.
Willitwaffle.com. All right. Well, and where are you located?
I live in Montreal.
Oh, okay, great. Well, happy waffling, and thank you for sharing your book, and I hope that you have lots more to come.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Kim. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you so much for listening today, and let me end our show with a moment of happiness. Gratitude is the single most important ingredient to living a successful and fulfilled life. With that, have a really great day, and I'll talk to you next week.